Good to see everybody here today. It's nice to be back in St. Petersburg. Well, in today's world, there are many types of music, and I took a few moments and went onto the computer and I Googled in, and of course that's a new term that we've learned over the past few years, but I Googled in types of music, and it was astonishing, the lists of the different types of music that we have out there. Well, just to name a few that we would recognize, of course there's classic music, there's country music, there's rock and roll, there's rap, there's blues, there's bluegrass, there's soul, there's swing, gospel, jazz, and of course all of these, I put in quotes, are music. So what place should music play in our lives? How should we view music? What is your favorite group? Or what is your favorite song? Or what is your favorite type of music? Is all music good? Is all music bad? Because there are those that feel that all music is bad. Is it bad if you feel like music is bad? Is it bad simply because you don't like it? Maybe somebody else does. Is all music good? Is it good because simply you like it? You like the sound of it? Well, how do we deal with others that like music that we don't? Does music have its place in church services? Is that a vital part of church services? Well, today we sang three hymns to start with, and after the sermonette, we sang another hymn and had announcements in another hymn, and we'll sing another hymn before we finish up. Well, in the song service, is that just to get everyone started and everyone in their seats? Is that the purpose of it? Is it the purpose just to get everybody quiet for the messages that we're going to have? Do we realize the words that we sing when we sing them? When we stand up and sing the hymns, do we know what we're singing? Can we verbalize when we get finished singing them what that hymn was about? Could we talk to someone and say, you know, that hymn was, and here's what we sang about? Well, why do we sing music each week? And what is godly music? And how do we choose good music? Not only at church, but anytime. Well, today we're going to review what the Bible says about music. And when we are finished, we will know how to choose good music. And that's a big and difficult and controversial subject. But when we finish, we're going to know how to choose good music. The United Church of God study paper titled Music in the Bible states, and I quote, "Music is an important part of life, from joy and celebration to sadness and mourning. Many deep emotional experiences have been expressed musically throughout history." And it goes on to say, "Because of its nature and capability to communicate feelings and emotions, music is often able to convey what is inexpressible in words alone." And if we kind of think about and incorporate this paragraph throughout the message, that will help us to understand as we go through what the theme is that we're talking about. Well, in today's world, we're constantly bombarded with music. We have all of our technological gadgets where we can dial up with the smartphones, we could listen to whatever, whenever. Long gone are the days when people would hover around a little radio box and try and catch music coming in as it faded in and out with the signal. Well, music is used in advertising. It's used in TV. Certainly TV and movie makers have long ago learned the effect and the production that can be had just simply from music. They've learned that it's astounding. Music sells things. Music alone can change the mood and the suspense of the production. I was recently looking on the computer at someone who was doing an illusion trick. And I imagined, as I started to think about this message, of this person doing this trick without all of the dramatic music that went along with it, and how ineffective the trick would be, simply if we just did the trick without the music. Music can be a powerful motivator. And music can be good or it can be bad. So why music? So many times we hear a commercial, we hear a movie, we hear a play. It's the music that really sets the emotion. Think of going to see the movie Jaws without the music. Da, 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 da. Think how effective that would be. Some time ago, in watching the opening ceremonies to the Olympics, I noted and sat back and listened to the music. How effective the music got everybody stirred up about the Olympics that were coming up. We might think of a wedding march at a wedding. And here the crowd is sitting there at a wedding. They're waiting on the bride. And then the wedding march is played. Everyone turns and here's the bride coming down. The emotion of the event certainly adds to it. Well, music can take us back to happier times. Music can take us back to sad times. Not all music is uplifting. We remember events in our lives many times from the music that was going on, and that helped to make an impression on us. What do you think when I mention the 50s or the 60s or the 70s? What goes through your mind? Music can pick us up when we are down. Music can calm us down and soothe us. When we think about, and teenagers and especially young teenagers are very impressionable when it comes to music. I can think back the big event in my life when I was going to church at 12 years old, and finally for the first time I was able to go along on a teen activity. And I remember what music was playing on the way to that teen activity. Very impressionable. I was sitting back in the back of one of these station wagons that had the seat that turned around, and the song You're So Vain was playing. And I had these hugely older teenagers that were taking me to this teen event. And they were probably 18 or 19 years old, but this was the first time that I was really able to get out and go to a teen activity. Wow! Well, James 5:13 tells us, is anyone cheerful, let him sing psalms. Often a stirring melody or a rousing anthem is able to strengthen and encourage us, to pick us up. Well, good or bad, the music sets the tone. It sets the emotion, as we've already mentioned. We don't listen to music, but it changes us. Often it's in the background of a commercial or a movie, but it makes the movie. The next time you see it, just listen. Next time you see a movie, just listen to the music. Don't watch the movie. Just listen to the music. Well, even as impressionable young people, we can allow influences in ways that we don't even know. Often if you talk to people and at this impressionable age, they like the music of that age. And depending on our age, we like the music of the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, or whatever it might be. We can hear music, a song, and not even know what the lyrics are, but we like it. That's our age group. Music can bring back these memories from years ago. We might say, well, do you remember what you were doing whenever what song was playing? And I mentioned a song that was impressionable on me. Music is able to add words, or add to words what words can't say alone. They add to the words. Teachers of small children have long since learned how music enhances teaching of small children. And you might stop and think about the TV shows that are on to help teach the youngsters out there, and there's always music going on, and they're learning some letter, and the music adds to their learning ability. That's something that teachers have long since learned. Music's very personal, as personal as our background is, our upbringing, our culture, from different parts of the country. We might learn and like and appreciate different music. Our family, our friends, our environment affects the type of music we listen to. Music has power to influence good and bad. We might stop and think that Satan can influence us and teach us and bring us over to his wavelength simply by music. It's one of the ways that Satan can broadcast, and as he goes around the earth seeking who he can devour. He can broadcast, send his influence through music. We might think of the music of rebellion, and if you're old enough, you can think back to the 60s and the Vietnam War and the music of rebellion. This music can stay with us. Some music deals with the paranormal, the spirit world, sexual perversions are common with music. Songs with sexual overtones, songs celebrating sin. And so many times we can enjoy the music, enjoy the beat, enjoy the song, but not even realize what the words are. Ephesians 2 and verse 1 tells us that Satan can use music as one of his traps because he is the prince of the power of the air. Music can be transmitted over the air. Satan will use what people are not conscious of or it's hard to perceive to influence us. And Satan can use music to separate us from God and each other. Let's turn it over to the book of Amos for our first scripture. Amos chapter 5. When we think about the influences of Satan. Back in the book of Amos chapter 5, we'll start in verse 21. Amos 5, I despise your feast days. These are not God's feast days. These are your feast days and celebrations. I do not savor your sacred assemblies. Though you offer me burnt offerings and grain offerings, I will not accept them, nor will I regard your fattened peace offerings. Take away from me the noise of your songs. Take away from me your music, for I will not hear the melody of your stringed instruments. We don't need to turn there, but Isaiah 1:14 tells us, your new moons and your appointed feasts my soul hates. These are not God's feasts. These are the worldly feasts. We see God's feasts listed back in the book of Leviticus. So God's telling us he hates your feasts and your music that goes along with that. We are here in the book of Amos. Let's turn over a couple pages to chapter 8 and we'll read verse 10. What does God think about these celebrations? Amos 8 and verse 10. I will turn your feasts into mourning and your songs into lamentation. I can remember talking to someone who made the point that he took all of these pagan songs and the melody, and he just changed the words in them because they were such a nice melody, and he made them positive, uplifting songs. But God hates this music. And I don't know that that was such a good idea because this can desensitize our consciences. Media and entertainment is a powerful tool in Satan's hand if we let it. But why not use tools that we have to promote godly values in ourselves and be examples to others? Well, when we think about it and we research it and we look at this subject, we understand that God likes music. And let's take a look at a couple of examples. Let's turn over to the New Testament in the book of Colossians. Colossians chapter 3. God likes music. Colossians chapter 3, starting in verse 16. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father through him. Barnes' notes in reference to these verses tells us psalms and hymns were to be regarded as a method of teaching and admonishing that they were to be imbued with the truth and to be such as to elevate the mind and withdraw it from error and sin. So we should be using these things to help us to withdraw and resist Satan. The Bible was full of references to music. Psalms 40 and verse 3 tells us, shows us that the musical expression of our faith can inspire others. And I quote, "He put a new song in my mouth, a hymn of praise to our God. Many will see and fear and put their trust in the Lord." That's from the New International Version or translation. So we see our music can also influence others. Songs, hymns, and spiritual songs indicate that the music is used in the worship of God and is an important aspect of worshiping God. We know that the book of Psalms is full of hymns and songs. Let's turn back over to the book of Psalms. We'll be in the book of Psalms a good bit today because these are a lot of hymns that have been written for worshiping God. And many of the songs in our hymnal are from the book of Psalms. Psalms chapter 81. Let's read starting in verse 1. "Sing aloud to God our strength. Make a joyful shout to the God of Jacob. Raise a song and strike the timbrel, the pleasant harp with the lute." This is one of the songs that we sing from time to time in our hymnal. We don't need to turn there, but 1 Chronicles 6 and verse 31 tells us that David employed thousands of musicians. Thousands of musicians in the worship of God, thousands of musicians in the honoring of God and in temple worship. And we stop and think about it, and as we look forward to the Passover season and thinking of the symbols of the Passover, we also see that the disciples and Jesus sang a hymn when the Passover service was wrapped up. We see that in Matthew 26 and verse 30. And when we have the Passover service here, we also will be doing that. So we see music and praising of God in the Bible. We see that music is important. But what does the Bible say about music? We see throughout the Bible verses about instruments, playing instruments. We see trumpets and we see horns. We see them being used to make music and noise. We see these things being used to send out a warning, an alarm, to signal a start, to go, to stop. So we see all of these instruments used in different ways, not only worship, but also in communicating things that needed to be communicated. It's an interesting study to see the magnitude and the importance that singing of hymns plays throughout the Bible. From temple worship, where there were professional singers employed, and that was their full-time job, to be professional singers, professional musicians, all the way through even to Christ's suffering in the Passover service, where they played a hymn. And even prophecies about the future, we see music and hymns. Well, what about music in our worship service? We mentioned already that we have sang and we have hymns here at church. But do we ever ask ourselves why? Why do we sing? Well, music is an important part of our worship service. We come here and we sing psalms, but what kind of music is appropriate for church? Do we ever ask that? Well, there are varying opinions, and if you ever thought that you might have a tough job, that would be a tough job would be creating a new hymnal or picking songs out for worship service, because there's a lot of different ideas out there. Some feel that music for a worship service should be something that's very, very narrow. Some feel that it should be very broad. Some feel that we should be playing and using only hymns from church members that have written the hymns. Some feel that they should only be hymns from the book of Psalms. Some people are fine with traditional religious hymns and others are not, as long as they don't have offensive words in them. Well, let's stop a minute and understand that the primary purpose for music in our services is to praise and glorify God. So when we sing hymns to God, that's what we're doing. And we need to keep that in mind as being the purpose of it. Well, let's take a moment and look at the definition of hymns. Dictionary.com tells us it's a song of praise, joy, or thanksgiving to God. We think of a few examples in the Bible of hymns. We've already mentioned the book of Psalms. We've mentioned the singers employed in the temple. But did we know that Moses was a singer also? Jesus Christ, our Savior, sang songs. Different examples of that. We see angels around God's throne singing and worshiping God. The Nelson Study Bible tells us, and I quote, as one of the greatest collection of songs, prayers, and poetry, the book of Psalms expresses the deepest passions of humanity. In these pages, we can hear the psalmist's desperate cry in the midst of despair, but also his eclectic praise of his provider and comforter, he goes on to say. We can hear him pouring out his soul in confession, but also bubbling over with joy. Goes on to say, the Psalms lead us through the valleys and the peaks of human experience, but in the end they will guide us to praise our loving Creator. And just going back, songs are for praise and glorifying God. Hymns are for praise and glorifying God. It goes on to say, the Psalms were written for singing. And they were songs for public worship. And that's what we do in the book of Psalms. And many, as we mentioned, of the hymns are from the book of Psalms. We're in the book of Psalms. Let's turn over to Psalms 100. Psalms 100. As an example of some of the Psalms that can be used as hymns. And we're going to take the time to read the whole chapter here. We'll start in verse 1. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Praising God through hymns. If we just turn over or look ahead a couple of chapters to Psalm 103, let's start in verse 1, when we think about giving praise to God. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless His holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all His benefits. Who forgives all of your iniquities? Who heals all of your diseases? Who redeems your life from destruction? Who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies? Who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your youth is renewed like the eagles? The Lord executes righteousness and justice for all who are oppressed. Not only giving praise and worship to God, but encouraging us and comforting us at the same time. The importance of singing hymns to God. It's part of giving God praise. It's part of giving God thanks. When we sing, we're communicating with God. Not only when we pray, but when we sing also, we're communicating. Let's turn over to Psalm 150 when we understand the importance of the hymns that we sing. This would be the last chapter in the book of Psalms. Who is to participate? Who is to sing these hymns? Psalms 150. Let's start in verse 1. Praise the Lord. Praise God in His sanctuary. Praise Him in His mighty firmament. Praise Him for His mighty acts. Praise Him according Praise Him according to His excellent greatness. Praise Him with the sound of the trumpet. Praise Him with the lute and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with stringed instruments and flutes. Praise Him with loud cymbals. Praise Him with high-sounding cymbals. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. So we see the worshiping of God, our Creator, and how important that is. And we see the last chapter in this book of Psalms, this book of hymns, talking about praising God. Hebrews 2:12 in the American Standard Version tells us, saying, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. In the midst of the congregations will I sing praise. It's just that important. Music can be and must be a part of our relationship, our walk with God. It's just that important. So why do we sing hymns and special music at church? And so from time to time we have special music. I know if I did special music, it would certainly be special, that's for sure. If we needed to clear the hall out, then I will do it. Well, so why do we sing special music and hymns? Well, we're told to. That's one reason. God tells us to. Let's turn over to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. God tells us to worship Him this way. And when we do, what can this do for us? Ephesians chapter 5, we'll read in verse 19. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in our heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Barnes Notes tells us in reference to this verse, it means endeavoring to edify one another, to promote purity of heart by songs of praise. Goes on to say that this has the force of a command and is a matter of obligation on Christians. From the beginning, it says, praise was an important part of public worship and is designed to be to the end of the world. So this is something that we need to be doing. The church put out a study paper on music, and it states, and I quote, God's word instructs us to express our praise and to worship Him with singing, instruments, and dancing. It makes it pretty clear. It goes on to say, we should not underestimate the significance of music as a vital part of church services. So it's a vital part of what we do. And so many times we could take it for granted. Well, communication with each other and communication with God, submitting to one another, and it has to do with bringing unity to one another. And that brings up my next point. Hymns promote unity. It's unified singing together when we sing at church services. It's something that everyone can participate in. And even if we happen to be somewhere, we're ill, and we're listening over the internet, we can still join in and be unified in the song service. Unlike special music, it's not everyone can do special music. And we heard the opening prayer this morning. Not everyone is giving the opening prayer. It's only given by one person. The sermonette is only given by one person. And the sermon is only given by one person. But singing hymns we can all do together. It promotes unity. It's our collective voices ringing out to God. And on the Sabbath day, it's our collective voices around the world ringing out to God in worship and praise. And when we do, when we think about it, the angels are sitting at God's throne singing praises all at the same time to God also. What a beautiful sound that must be to God to see His followers singing in unity to Him. I'm always struck, and many of you have been to the church in Fellsmere or Vero Beach, but they like to sing. And if you go there it's quite an interesting a thing, because they enjoy singing. It's a very small group, maybe 15 to 18 people, but that's a very important part, and they really get into it. It's inspiring to be there and listen to them. Well, another thing that singing hymns does, it helps focus ourselves away from ourselves, helps focus ourselves on the big picture. So many times we go through difficult weeks and we come from all different directions. We've had trouble at work. We've had trouble when we've drove to church today, whatever it might be. We've had problems with health. We've had problems with jobs. We've had problems with family throughout the week. We've fought Satan and his attitudes all week long. But now we have the opportunity to worship together in unity. It helps focus the mind. It changes our perspective. Help us to think a little differently. Once again, from the study paper the church puts out, and I quote, "Music can support our faith by helping to comfort and reassure us in times of trial. Think back," and I quote, "when Paul and Silas were beaten and imprisoned, they were strengthened by both prayers and singing." Let's turn over to that example in the book of Acts. Acts chapter 16. This should be encouraging to us. Acts chapter 16. We're going to start in verse 25. Let's back up and start in verse 22 today. Now picture yourself. Here's Paul and Silas. They had been beaten. They had been arrested. They had been thrown in jail. And just think how discouraging that could be. And what was their reaction? Let's read in verse 20, starting in verse 22. "The multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates tore off their clothes and commanded them to be beaten with rods." Verse 23, "And when they had laid many stripes on them, they threw them in the prison, commanding the jailer to keep them securely. And having received such a charge, he put them into the inner prison and fastened their feet in the stocks." Not in the outer prison, but they put them clear in the back so there would be no chance of them to escape. Let's drop down here to Let's go ahead and read in verse 26. "Suddenly a great earthquake, the foundations and the prisons were shaken, and immediately all the doors were open and their chains were loosed." Okay, I missed verse 25. Let's read verse 25. That's what I was looking for there. "And at midnight, Paul and Silas were praying and singing hymns to God, and the prisoners were listening to them." So here they were clear back in the inner prison, and the prisoners were listening to them. Not only the prisoners, but the jail guard was also. After being beaten and thrown in jail, however discouraging that might be, were they discouraged? No, not at all. Here they were singing and praying to God. Let's drop down to verse 30 and we'll see the reaction of the prison guard. "And after all of this, he brought them out and said, 'Sirs, what must I do to be saved?'" This lifelong process, just simply observing them as a tool in God's hands, singing praise and praying, the jailer was converted. What a powerful example they were. What a powerful example we can also be. Well, hymns can stir us. Hymns can comfort us in times of trial. They can reassure us. They can focus us. We're praising God when we sing hymns here in church. The song service is a chance to set the attitude, the emotion, and prepare the atmosphere for the entire service. And it has that much importance. It sets the tone for the service. When we close services with a hymn, it's just not a signal that services are over, but it caps off the service. And I've mentioned already the Passover hymn. After the Passover service, that first Passover, before his crucifixion, they had a hymn. I'm often reminded, or I often think about the messages in when that are given in church, and how many times the hymns, even though not planned, will reflect what are said in the messages. And that sometimes, once in a while, I will actually ask the song leader when I have a message to and request that maybe he does a certain hymn. The last time I spoke here, I asked Mr. Terry to play a certain hymn. He said, well, I'll look and see if I know that hymn. And he went and got his paper of the hymns that were chosen, and he had already chose that hymn. So it's amazing how God works it out to tie everything together. Well, when we sing hymns, not all of the hymns we sing are joyful. Not all of them are joyful. Some are for celebration. If we turn to the back of our hymnal, and I brought a hymnal up here to page 196, here's a topical index. And it's amazing to look through at some of the types of hymns that come from the book of Psalms that are in our hymnal. We see some that have to do with fellowship, some that have to do with God's plan, some that have to do with courage and confidence. We see some that have to do with mercy and peace, hymns that have to do with and look forward to hope, hymns we sing about trials and trust, hymns for thankfulness and joy. When life is unfair, we need to trust God. Our hymns sing about that. When we sing the hymn at Passover, certainly it's not a joyful, stirring, rousing march, but it's a cry of faith, a testimonial. We sing hymns of praise and thanksgiving. We sing prayerful hymns. We should meditate on the words when we sing them. We shouldn't let the song service become routine, but we should think about the words when we sing them. It's an important part of biblical worship throughout history, as we've seen. Once again, from the study paper the church puts out, states the central purpose of music in our church services is to praise and worship our God, and we've mentioned that. Well, our Christian experience is greatly enhanced by a hearty appreciation and enjoyment of spiritual hymns. For the words have meaning, and we should be thinking on these words as we sing them. So why do we sing? We sing to give honor and worship to God, a way to express our gratification and thankfulness. It lifts our spirits. It promotes harmony and unity. It's a part that we can all play together as a unified congregation. We've mentioned that emotions are part of our hymns. Emotions are part of music. We see music is used as an emotional expression of appreciation. Let's turn over to the book of Exodus. Exodus chapter 15. When we think about the emotional expression of appreciation, our gratitude that we have when we sing hymns, we'll see the example of the children of Israel as they came through the Red Sea. They were being pursued. They had the mountains on one side. They had the sea on the other side. There was nowhere to turn. What were they going to do? Well, God intervened and opened the Red Sea for them. We see this emotion and expressing unified of their appreciation to God. Verse 1 of chapter 15 of Exodus. Moses and the children of Israel sang this song to the Lord and spoke, saying, and we won't take the time to go completely through the song, but they expressed their gratitude for everything that God did for them. Let's go ahead and turn over to verse 20 here, drop down to verse 20. As they were singing this song, then Miriam, the prophetess, the sister of Aaron, took the timbrel in her hand, and all of the women went out after her with timbrels and dances. And Miriam answered to them, "Sing to the Lord, for he has triumphed gloriously, and the horse and his rider has been thrown into the sea." So we see this triumphant, gratifying hymn of praise to God for what He did for them. So what do we fill our minds with? Do we want to be positive individuals? Then we should fill our mind with positive and uplifting things. We want to exercise self-control over our emotions. If we do that and we want to do that, we should exercise self-control over the music that we listen to. Words and music can motivate us to sin, or words and music can motivate us to praise God. What kind of music should we listen to? What should we choose? Well, we can simply ask, will it be uplifting and will it be positive? Does the music bring feelings of stress and anger? And so many times some music does. Is it filled with inappropriate lyrics? Some music is filled with rage, and I use the term in quotes, music. Rage and violence, profanity and vulgarity. Does the music lift our spirit? Does it leave us with a wholesome attitude? Does it leave us wanting to praise God? How does it affect our lives? What effect does it have on our minds? It does affect us, certainly. Studies have shown clearly that music affects us, and that makes sense when we think about it. So often we pick on our young people for the music that they listen to. And when we were young at a certain impressionable age, it seems like our parents picked on us for the music that we listened to. Well, if we're not on guard, any of us can be affected by inappropriate music, no matter what age we are. No matter how old we are, we can be affected by inappropriate music. It's not just young people. It's all of us. Clearly, music can be and is misused. So how do we choose good music? Well, we can ask, what are the results or what are the fruits of the music that we are listening to? We should examine the message and the mood that each song brings. We should be asking ourselves, what does it tell us? What is it trying to tell us? Is it music of rebellion? Is it music of honor and praise? Sometimes the music is not easily understood, and many times it's subtle and underlying. We can be singing a song and not really fully realizing the message that the song is trying to get across. If we're appreciating a song that has a message that's contrary to God's way of life, even if it is catchy, we should guard against that. This could help us go down the wrong path, help us to desensitize our consciences. It can be saying, you know, this isn't so bad after listening to it. We mentioned some of the music of the world and their celebrations. So easily when those times of the year come around, we can be caught up in that type of music. We mentioned Satan being the prince of the power of the air, and he broadcasts in many different ways. Satan can use music to throw garbage at us and influence us. Is it wrong to sing evil? Is it wrong to sing a lie? Certainly it is. Well, how do we choose good music? And there's one point I would like to bring across. It's simply a holiness issue. When we think about being holy, we are to be holy people. It's a holiness issue. What we participate in, what we allow ourselves to view on TV or otherwise, what we allow ourselves to do to our bodies, the temple of God's Holy Spirit, what we feed ourselves, how much sleep we get, how we speak to others, the words we use, how we dress, what we watch on TV, the movies, or what music we listen to, it's a holiness issue. God has equipped us to lead a holy life. That should be our focus. It's a holiness issue. Our habits, our disciplines are important in our holy walk with God, with our Creator. Well, let's take a moment to look at the meaning of holiness, because we should be patterning our life around a holiness issue. That should be our focus. Let's turn back to the book of Leviticus. When we start to understand a holiness issue, the context of this is wicked and evil things. Leviticus chapter 19. Let's read in verse 2. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, "Speak to the congregation of the children of Israel, and say to them, You shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, is holy." And we see the balance of chapter 19 and chapter 20 talking about holiness issues. And we won't read the whole chapters, but just to take a couple of verses out of these two chapters. Verse 28 of chapter 19, "You shall not make any cuttings in your flesh for the dead, nor tattoo any marks on you, for I am the Lord. Verse 30, "You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my sanctuary. I am the Lord. Verse 32, "You shall rise before the gray-headed and honor the presence of an old man and fear your God. I am the Lord. Verse 37, "Therefore you shall observe my statutes, my judgments, and perform them. I am the Lord." So, two whole chapters of teaching us how to be holy, how to be God's holy people. These words express the keynote to the whole book of Leviticus. And these laws were intended to guard the sanctity of the people, the elect people, the chosen people. What is the purpose of these instructions? It's a holiness issue. Chapter 20, let's turn over to verse 26, and we'll see that as chapter 20 wraps up. "And you shall be holy to me, for I am the Lord. I, the Lord, am holy, and have separated you from the peoples that you should be mine." God has chosen us out of the world. He has called us to be His holy, His sanctified people. God's or godly music unifies, not divides. God's or godly music promotes God's way of life. The ESV Study Bible tells us in reference to a call to holiness. This is a call to holiness. Holiness here refers to first and foremost to the essential nature of God. And the term holy means set apart, unique, and distinct. The imitation of God becoming and acting like Him. We want to be followers of God. We want to be living His way of life. We want to becoming holy. We want to become holy. As the first message mentioned, we want to be perfect or striving to be perfect. Unger's Bible Dictionary tells us that holiness is a general term to indicate sanctity or separation from all that is sinful or impure or morally imperfect. Moral wholeness, it goes on to say, and the term is used with reference to persons, places, and things. And we need to caution ourselves because in thinking about music, so many times we in our own personal lives might build a little box. And we might say, well, in reference to music, holiness is any music that I like. And if someone else doesn't like the music that's in my box, that music is unholy. No, we need to stop and realize what truly holiness is. Just because someone was brought up in a different culture and they like one type of music doesn't necessarily mean we should be judging them for that. When we think about holiness, 1 Thessalonians 4:7 tells us, "For God did not call us to uncleanness, but in holiness." And Hebrews 12, verse 14 tells us, "Pursue peace with all men and holiness, without which no one will see the Lord." Let's turn over to the 2 Corinthians, over in the New Testament, 2 Corinthians chapter 7. And we'll read verse 1 when we think about holiness. Verse 1. "Therefore, having these promises, beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." This is what we're doing. Our Christian walk with God. We're trying to perfect holiness. Psalm 29 verse 1 tells us, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Let's turn over to the book of Psalms, Psalms chapter 96, as we wind down here. Psalms chapter 96. We're going to read verses 1, starting in verse 1. When we think about holiness and our attitude towards holiness. Verse 1, O sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, bless His name. Proclaim the good news of His salvation from day to day. Verse 3, declare His glory among the nations, His wonders among all peoples. For the Lord is great and greatly to be praised. He is to be feared above all gods. And let's drop down to verse 11. Let the heavens rejoice and let the earth be glad. Let the sea roar in all its fullness. This praise of God. Let's back up to verse 9. Oh, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Tremble before Him in all earth. This should be our journey to be striving towards holiness. So what is holiness? James 1:27 tells us pure religion before God is this, to keep oneself unspotted from the world. When we think about music, it's a holiness issue. When we think about choosing good music, it's a holiness issue. Well, clearly God gives His approval to and appreciates good music. God wants us to enjoy music also. He wants us to appreciate good music. 1 Corinthians 10 verse 31 tells us whatsoever we do to the glory of God. It's a holiness issue. Well, the Scriptures teach us the important principle that when we're doing anything in life, including singing and listening to music, that illustrates and conveys the concept of holiness. If this music is not reflecting God's Holy Spirit that flows through us, through Jesus Christ down to us, and should flow through us that other people see us and see God's Holy Spirit working in us, well, His character then, it may not reflect His holiness and may not honor Him if our example is not showing that holiness and Holy Spirit flowing through us. Well, from beginning to end, the Holy Scriptures contain references to music and singing of hymns. And at creation, the morning stars sang together, Job 38:7 tells us. And the sons of God shouted for joy, all the way through the Bible to when John records his vision of the new city and the music at God's throne. As we participate in the song service every Sabbath, and as we put music in the proper perspective in our lives and our focus throughout the week, and as we look ahead to the spring holy days and the Passover season, let's reflect on the words and the meaning of the words as we sing them, as we sing hymns. Let's realize the importance of the hymns that we're singing. And if we do, then the song service will be more enjoyable and it will be a more meaningful part of the Sabbath. Let us live a life of honoring God in all things.